This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Yeah, here we go. That was a rather subtle and abrupt end to that track. You sort of wish we had a camera going in here. You could have seen us, Mercedes and I, jumping up and putting our headphones on and getting in front of the microphones. Thanks, James, from In Your Face for another excellent show. You're with Jacob Mercedes with a Friday Rave here on Community Radio 855 on your AM dial through all the W's at 3cr.org.au or
via your whiz bang surveillance helicopter in the sky. Now, just before we get into it.
Let's get straight into it.
It's 5:01 now. At 5:30 today on Parliament steps, there is a snap action to demand justice for Kumanjai White. That's at 5:30 on Parliament steps tonight. So if you are tuned in from home, now is the time to get to the tram, the train, in your car, on your bike, or wherever you may be.
Or hitch a lift with your surveillance helicopter.
And get down to the Parliament steps for 5:30 to demand justice for Kumanjai White. So there's 595 First Nations people have died in custody, and that's since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. And Kumanjai White was killed last week in Mapuantua, Alice Springs. And the family, he was a young Walpuri man, and the family are demanding justice and are demanding a full independent investigation, the release of all CCTV and body camera footage, and an end to the racist police spin and the untruths that are being thrown out.
Ridiculous. When you look at what's happening here, we're not going to say we can't say too much about it because it's still in the case of courts and all the rest of it. So there are certain words we can't use, and but you know what they are. But yeah, the police spin. Let's start with the police spin and how the police work. First of all, and I suppose I could repeat what's being reported in the Northern Territory Independent, is that the police issued a statement on Wednesday suspending the coronial investigation into Kumanjai White's death.
Or are they suspending the release of the report or the suspending of the actual investigation?
They're suspending the investigation into White's death and suspending the release of the report into Walker's death. So this is how independent the police investigations are. At first they said that the decision was made in consultation with the coroner, but then that was patently untrue to insiders, and so they had to reissue a report saying that the coroner had been advised made aware of the decision, rather, and will be provided with regular updates. So the police are telling the coroner that she will be made aware of regular updates. Isn't that the other way around to the way it's supposed to work?
Yeah, and that was off the back of editing a previous statement that they'd made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't say much. We can't say anything legally about what happened to Kumanjai White, but we can say legally that the way they've responded to it is a criminal travesty in itself.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disgusting. And you go back. Now they've Kumanjai Walker, who was shot by police in 2019. Now, we can talk about that at the time, and here's the point. I said here at this very radio station, here at this very time on a Friday afternoon, 5 years ago, when this happened, or 4.5 years ago, when this happened, that the problem, part of the problem was, while everyone was having a crack at Zachary Rolfe, and I'm not standing up for Zachary Rolfe by any shape or form, I kept saying that the problem was in the culture, but not only the culture, but the fact that Zachary Rolfe was the protege of Ben Robert Smith, who is currently be decided whether he's going to be charged with war crimes in Afghanistan, that Constable Zachary Rolfe was quite possibly SAS in Afghanistan and was just traumatised beyond belief and had already shown a disregard for his and others' safety in the execution of his duties over the short time he'd had in the Northern Territory Police. Now, we don't know of the coppers who were apparently off duty, according to a Northern Territory media source, who weren't actually sent there as coppers. These are off-duty coppers who happened to be in Coles, who took it upon themselves. Now, if I were there and happened to take that role of restraining someone to the point where they had restrictive asphyxia or whatever it was that ended up killing him, I couldn't say, oh, that was in the role of my job. These people weren't, they were cops, but they weren't acting in the role of cops. It's just, and there needs to be a full investigation in this.
And there needs to be a full investigation. It needs to be transparent and independent, which is exactly what the family are calling for, and the release of all of the footage. Because if it's not independent, it's cops investigating themselves again and then letting the coroner know, as they've said that they will do, and keeping the coroner updated.
Oh.
But an independent cops investigating themselves is the root and structural issues. That is why there is no justice.
Yeah, look, we all know people who have been charged for protest and other related activities around Melbourne this year. I mean, why don't we try that on? Why don't we try to say, oh, the protest movement will investigate our own and we'll let the magistrates court, we'll keep you informed of our findings. What utter bullshit. But anyway, be there at 5:30 at Parliament House. We'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there straight after this. And
In other news. Oh, where do you start?
Where do you start? Well, I mean, in station news, Radiothon's coming up.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so, of course, your station, your voice, and you can donate throughout this month and keep your eyes peeled for any events and the special Radiothon programs that are coming up. So the target for this Radiothon is $270,000 to keep Radical Radio on the airwaves. That's 3CR, which is the best grassroots local community station that you'll hear anywhere,
and it's the best one you'll find. It's the best one you'll find anywhere. And while we're just how can I put it? We don't want to just blow the trumpet of 3CR all the time, but I'm just gonna
only a little bit.
But you know, we're working on Palestine now. All right, and Palestine is on everyone's lips, and Palestine should be in everyone's hearts as we speak. But I just want to point out, and we did pay tribute to him a few weeks ago as a great man, Comrade K, he used to call him, Ali Kazak, who was a Palestinian representative that basically set the stage and is the reason that Palestine is an important issue for all right-minded thinking in Australia. But there was a tribute to him on John Menadue, Pearls and Irritations this morning, and about Ali Kazak and how he moved to Canberra and occupied a building close to Parliament House. And it actually goes on to say, by the time the second issue of his magazine, Free Palestine, was published, there had been threats to the printer and I know who the printer was, I'm not going to say his name, and suggestions they should not be dealing with terrorists. The printer declined his advice. The same year, the Jewish Board of Deputies tried unsuccessfully to have the licence of pro-Palestinian radio station 3CR revoked. All right, that was back in 1979.
79. So that was only a few years after 3CR first hit the airwaves.
Yeah, and already the Zionists were trying to close us down because we were supporting people like Comrade Ali Kazak. So on Palestine, a lot of the things Ali said and Ali has gone on to say over the years until his untimely death a few weeks ago, a lot of people may have, and in fact a lot of people did, dismiss as conspiracy theories. He talked a lot about Israeli false flag operations, and he had proof of a lot of them. And that's the reason I mention that, not just because of 3CR's radiothon needing to get money so that we keep getting up the noses of the Zionist organisations in Melbourne to the point where they keep advocating to shut us down, but to talk about the news that's come out today, or yesterday, sorry, that the former defence minister and opposition leader in Israel, a bloke by the name of Avigdor Lieberman, has said that Netanyahu was arming a gang in southern Gaza that's affiliated with IS, and that has since been confirmed by Israeli officials. The Israeli government, he said, is giving weapons to groups of criminals and felons identified with Islamic State at the direction of the Prime Minister, so that they can keep fighting Hamas. Basically, now this bloke, what's his name, Lieberman, wasn't saying this because he had any pro-Palestinian concern.
No, it was more concerned that in arming those, we don't know that they couldn't foresee that wouldn't be used against Israel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what we've got here is Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, he funded Hamas. He set up Hamas. He supported Hamas to fight Fatah. Back in the day. Now he's supporting this other mob to fight Hamas. They're controlling. They try to control every side of the conflict.
And this is coming off the back of the aid blockade, which the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is alleged to have funding from Mossad, that have set up their four distribution centres, basically to in the south, have extended their closure because Israel has considered all of the roads into. The roads leading to the distribution centres are now considered combat zones.
Yeah.
And Israel has continued its bombardment of Gaza, has opened fire near those distribution centres in southern Gaza. And now, again, the Israeli military are saying that they're investigating it, but it's investigating themselves.
Maz, why don't we get the Israeli government to investigate the death of Kumanai White and the Northern Territory Police to investigate the bombing of aid convoys in Gaza. I think we'll come up with exactly the same findings.
Exactly the same findings. And so the Gaza humanitarian aid, and this is part into the Hasbara, of like this, you know, they're funding groups to undertake these attacks, so that then they can say, oh, see, the aid's being, now we need to control it. So it's a self-perpetuating cycle, and this is exactly what they're doing.
They create the problem. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, they launch yet another attack on southern Lebanon yesterday, hitting multiple targets, though there's only been one injury reported to date. It's like they fight over here, they bomb over here, and it's don't look over there. And we haven't even mentioned about the atrocities that continue daily on the West Bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Every day. And another report has come out this week. I mean, there's a lot that we've just been looking to a report on the use of AI technologies for targeting. But I think we probably will get into that in another show.
Yeah, yeah, it's too much.
But a report has been released this week on a multi-temporal study of greenhouse gas emissions.
Caused by the Israel's
genocide.
Yeah. Let's face it. Because, I mean, look, I've been known in the past to get a bit short-tempered and a bit shirty, one might say. Shirty with an R and one T. with certain parts of our environment, our environmental movement, who want to concentrate more on the environment than the people. And thankfully that's a situation which we're seeing less and less and less of. People are understanding the totality and the interconnectedness of it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's not to say that we're not concerned with the environment on this very show. In fact, Mercedes, I think the first time you ever came on a Friday rave, it was to talk to people in the United Kingdom at a climate conference with us about the role of the military's role in greenhouse gases.
Ah, I believe so. I think that was that a part of a Friday rave?
That was a Friday rave.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, Lindsay Cottrell.
That's right.
And Lindsay Cottrell is one of the authors of this report that has just come out.
Yeah.
And so they're from a mob who track military emissions globally in conflict zones and by militaries. And one of the things that Lindsay talked about at the time was that the US military, if you were to track the emissions data from the US military, it would be one of the top greenhouse gas emitting countries, if it were considered a country.
In the world. Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think this conversation about the environmental impacts just needs to be premised with that this study focuses on greenhouse gas emissions.
Yep.
But environmental issues, as we all know, go so much deeper than what is quantifiable in emissions data, and what is not quantifiable and therefore hard to study but we know is true is just the outright destruction, the destruction of sanitation, of sewage systems that then impact and get into waterways, the amount of chemicals, the use of chemical weapons.
Petroleum's oil leaching into the groundwater.
Yeah, leaching into the groundwater and the ground itself, making the ground in the future, once it is cleared, you know, what does that mean for growing food or for the food
sure.
production and in the future? So I guess the, you know, greenhouse gas emissions are one of the few ways to quantify an environmental destruction. But I guess one of the things when you're talking about military and in this particular instance, in a genocidal bombing campaign, is also the what the outcomes of that in Gaza alone are, but and also it's like what are the environmental impacts of shipping those weapons there, of every time they operate, of the refueling, of the extraction of resources, and so, you know, environmentally, this is, if you're, you know, thinking about it environmentally, which it's all connected, so we can't just think of this as something separate.
Because people are part of the environment.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's.
But look, a report was released a year ago, and this is whatever this report, that not the report you were just talking about, that was this month, but another report by the UN Environment Program was released in June 2024. And that was talking, for example, about things like 38 million tonnes of rubble and debris.
Mm.
And, like, not just the rubble and debris itself, but the amount of petrol that's going to have to be used to move that rubble and debris, the roads that are going to have to be built to remove that rubble and debris. They're talking about the trees dying, 50%. 50%, they reckon, of the trees are dead in Gaza. Now, that's not just from the bombing, but it's people cutting down trees because they're cold and they need to cook and they need to get fires together. Mm. And, you know, you're talking about farms with an average size of just under 2 acres, so under, say, half a hectare, often there's only one tree or two trees on that farm.
Mm.
So the death, the removal, the damage of one tree is not like what an Australian farmer might think of, oh, we lost a tree on the farm today.
Mm.
It's every tree in a place like Gaza is significant. And this just goes on and on and on.
And, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
I mean, no, you just get at a loss for words when Israel has just carpet bombed Gaza and tried to, you know, set a light, and the destruction of olive groves, which has been ongoing for decades, you know, destroying, it's a starvation of a people through aid blockades, but also the mechanisms and the things they're doing to stop people being able to sustain life.
They're not only killing, I mean, it reminds me.
It's a genocide. That's what it is.
But it's not only genocide, it's ecocide.
Mm.
It reminds me of the Punic Wars, where Rome sowed Carthage in modern-day Tunisia with salt to make sure that even after the war, they can never grow anything there again.
Mm.
And that's what they're doing here. They're making sure that Gaza is never going to be able to support any agricultural pursuit. All it can ever be will be a paved paradise parking lot for Trump and Netanyahu's and their cronies.
Unless we stop it.
And that's why this Sunday.
And that's what we're going to do. And that's why this Sunday is
State Library,
12 o'clock this Sunday. We're red because apparently the government doesn't have a red line of what it considers where it should actually step in and act or do anything, or, you know, beyond a pithy statement written or spoken to try and weasel their way out of complicity and culpability. But this Sunday we're red. We're going to draw the red line because if the government won't, we will. And
we're going to draw a red line. And look, I'm glad that Albanese has finally said something, as piss weak as it is, but it's not far enough.
Yep.
Now, he has only come out and said what he has said because of the pressure, not just through the protests, but all the lobbying, everything that's been happening for the past 19 months, and it's pushed him to say this much. We need to take the prick's arm and twist it so hard up behind his back that he actually says something meaningful, whether he wants to or not.
Yeah, and then does it and keep the pressure on to follow through with, you know, because that's it's nearly 2 years, 608 days and thereabouts, and still Israel hasn't been sanctioned.
Still haven't.
There's no sanctions. And then they've said they're not even going to discuss it yet, but Richard Miles is happy in the Shangri-La dialogues to say, oh, we're considering increasing defence spending to 3% at the beck and call of the US.
Yeah.
Yet over 600 days of an ongoing genocide, and the Albanese government has said that, you know, that haven't even uttered a word about sanctions.
Not a word. And this is, and the Shangri-La, what's come out of the Shangri-La dialogue, I mean, James Hilton, the bloke who wrote the original Lost Horizons that the term Shangri-La comes from, he'd be absolutely turning in his grave over the way this series of dialogues, which are used to justify wars, have been named after Shangri-La, a mythical place in the hills where everything was beautiful. It's all about they're re-raising the China threat, or at least they're trying to. And Richard Miles, and look, we can't blame Richard Miles personally. because he's a gormless twat that hasn't got sufficient intellect to work out he's being used, and he hasn't got sufficient nerve cells around his anus to understand whose fist is lodged firmly up his ass, making his mouth move. This guy is a gormless prick. And I think we should feel sorry for him rather than be angry.
Well, you're not going to get any pity from me, Dick.
Yeah, sorry about that. But anyway, the other thing is be aware, probably next week on a Friday rave, but keep your eyes on social media. We'll be announcing another initiative to take the cause up to the Labor Party. So yeah, be aware of that. Can't say too much now, but we'll come. You will hear it first here on a Friday rave.
Yes, and we are almost out of time.
Again,
I know it happens every time, but we ran out of time, but we were going to get into a report that came out at the end of last month about Maersk.
Oh, we've got to talk about that.
Yeah, and the maintenance of the F-35 fighter jets.
Yeah.
To Israel, and so there is you can go to Mask of Maersk, which is spelled M-A-S-K? M-A-E-R-S-K.
Oh, sorry, Mask Off.
Mask Off.
M-A-S-K-O-F-F.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, confusing. I must say today, folks, my head's a little bit all over the place, so I'm probably jumping from thing to thing, but we do have the good folks from Slacker Radio waiting at the door. But we are not going to have time to get into banging at the door, in fact. We're not going to have time to get into that report, but it just goes through and looking at between 2019 and January this year of the shipments of parts that have gone through Lockheed Martin distribution centres, Israeli aerospace, Israel Aerospace Industries. We've just been, and that's a report looking at what are those parts. And of course, on those ships, there is parts like tail fins and vertical
and actuators
and components that we know Australian companies are involved in this as sole manufacturers of those parts. So yeah. We'll get into that another time now that we have almost run out of time. And I'm just going to have a look for a little radiothon cart as the folks from Slacker Radio get organised. That's us for this week.
Let them be the slackers. Don't you be a slacker. Get online and donate to Radiothon.
Yeah, that's right. That is 3cr.org.au. Pop into the station or call 94198377. Get down to the rally at Parliament Steps starting in a couple of minutes, and we will see you then.
See you then.